I want to thank Tanya Jackson Satchel. The word today is irony. The date, the 24th, the month, February, which also happens to be the shortest month of the year, which also happens to be Black History Month, the year 2019, the year 1619. History, her story, 1619, 2019, 400 years. 400 years, our ancestors were stolen from Mother Africa and brought to Jamestown, Virginia, enslaved. Our ancestors worked from the land from Kansas in the morning to Kansas at night. My grandmother, Zimmy Sheldon Retha, who lived to be 100 years young, who was a Spelman College graduate, even though her mother was a slave. My grandma, who saved 50 years of Social Security checks to put her first grandchild, she called me Spiky Poo. She put me through Morehouse College and NYU grad film. NYU. Before the world tonight, I give praise to our ancestors who helped build this country and was today, along with the genocide of its native people. We all connect with our ancestors. We will have love, wisdom, regaining, we will regain our humanity. It will be a powerful moment. The 2020 presidential election is around the corner. Let's all mobilize. Let's all be on the right side of history. Make the moral choice between love versus hate. Let's do the right thing. You know I had to get that in there.
Hello, Anders Holmes here of the Holmes Movies Podcast, here with my brother Adam, who is on Skype in America.
Hello.
It has been a very,
It's been a 2020. Like, it's everything is shit. 2020, which was already a historically shit year, has just gotten so much worse.
Yeah.
It is a really strange and frightening time, but it is also good to see people standing in solidarity around the world and doing, you know, something at least to register their anger at the situation. And obviously that anger is fueled by the response that we see from governments and from the police forces and so on. It's a global problem. There's racism where you are as well. There are people in Denmark who think it's okay to use the N-word. There are people in...
Oh, yeah, completely.
There are people in Europe who think that racism isn't a problem. It is. We've got authoritarian regimes around the world doing all this stuff. And... you know, it is so. It's tempting to look at America and say, "Oh, it's all shit there, isn't it?" And yes, it is. And
yes, it is. Yeah, it's like saying, "Oh, it's bad there, but it can't be bad where we are. We're fine." No, we're not. I mean, I have been at many dinner tables with people who have just casually shouted out the N-word, and it has made me extremely uncomfortable. And it should never be, ever be said in public or private or anything like that.
No, I mean, and remember that, and this isn't to excuse it at all, but you're in Denmark where the language is different and the heritage of that term is less weaponized than it is in the US. But as you rightly say, that does not make it, that does not excuse anything. There's nothing we can really say that will be adequate. We're two privileged white guys sitting on a fucking podcast about films. But I guess, you know, we should at least recognize that that this shit is happening. It is the cause of, you know, it isn't just like, oh, it's hot and there's COVID and, you know, too many things happened at once. Like, no, this is the result of decades, centuries of, you know, of systemic racism, of, you know, a buildup of grievances on the, you know, on the right and left by, you know, by white people who feel threatened wrongly and who channel hate and aggression into, you know, minority groups in their society, forgetting conveniently, you know, a long history of European colonialism and exploitation of other races. So, I could say at least I can plug something, which is my job, which because of COVID, you know, might not exist in a few months, but at least it does for now. I work at the W.E.B. Du Bois Center at UMass Amherst. If you don't know who W.E.B. Du Bois was, you should look him up. You should read his books and his pamphlets and his articles and his speeches and his poems and his novels and his editorials.
Yeah.
Because even though a lot of them were written over 100 years ago, they're very relevant to the current moment. So if you want to follow the Du Bois Center, you can do so at Du Bois UMass on Twitter and at WEB Du Bois Center on Instagram. And you can visit our website too, which is dubois.center.library.umass.edu. And I'm sure Anders will link to all these things in the show notes.
Yes, I will. Yeah.
And what's the biggest catchphrase that we have whenever we talk about politics and this sort of thing? Don't be a dick.
Yes. Don't be a cunt.
So out there in the world, if you think that what you're doing right now is being a dick, especially if you're white, stop it.
Yes.
And
also,
read something or listen to someone.
Yeah.
And
educate
yeah.
yourself. Which is
yeah,
what...
or be educated.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to be educated. Open ears, open your eyes, and frankly, if it's all too much for you, if you are someone, if you are a person of color, for example, who's had enough of educating others and being educated, then take the time, escape from it all, shut the computer down, and breathe. And listen to us talk about movies.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking just the last few days, I feel like, especially like Twitter, I feel like it's just the last few days of just all this sort of stuff, not just the good, but all the bad and stuff. And all these stupid tone deaf things have just been really, I did do something the other day. I reported someone who wrote probably the worst thing I've ever seen anyone do that I thought was both dangerously arrogant and massively fucking stupid, and I reported it and the tweet got taken down. His profile's still up, but the thing was, a lot of people who I follow on Twitter were sort of mutual followers of this guy, and when he made said tweet, he started bleeding followers dry, and everybody retweeted what he said. Everyone was saying, you're a horrible person, you shouldn't say anything like this, why are you saying something like this sort of stuff now? And you know, that was just wrong, and I think there was some ignorance there. And it also, of course, he's a Trump supporter, so it makes sense.
Was it Vince Vaughn, by any chance?
No, it wasn't Vince Vaughn, but no, it was a fatter guy who probably still lives with his parents or something like that. I'm not going to read the tweet because it's bad. Just take my word for it. It's horrible.
Yeah.
He was lucky he was on Twitter, because if he said that in public, he would be beaten up.
Well, you hope so. There's plenty of people saying other stuff.
Yeah.
I've been on Twitter a lot, partly just tweeting out Du Bois quotes and trying to follow what's going on. You see a bunch of crap, but it is a good way of seeing what's actually happening. A lot of the videos that have been the most revealing of police brutality, for example, including the video of George Floyd getting murdered in broad daylight, you know, have been shared on social media. So while social media is a huge bubble, and it is like a huge, it's this massive swimming pool full of people shouting at each other. It does have a function, but boy, it's exhausting.
It's overwhelming.
But should we talk about films now?
Yeah, let's just talk about films. And but I feel like, just sort of highlighting what you said before, I feel like a lot of people, especially you and me, I feel like we should allow ourselves to be silent and listen. And I think we should all do that.
It would be really helpful if a lot of people just shut the fuck up. And
yeah, it's controversial, but you could shut the fuck up, as Dave Chappelle said.
And you can. There are lots of ways of showing solidarity, and there are lots of ways of protesting. And actually, one other thing we should say is, don't make it all about you.
No.
Help someone else, and then see what happens.
Yeah.
I will say, in all of this horror, there is some inspiring stuff out there.
Yeah.
And I really think that, in the same way that we have not solved the problems of racism, but
no.
There have been moments in human history where it has, the world has been confronted with it, and it has brought some results. It has not solved everything, but let us hope that this is one of those moments. I now really think we should start talking about this because what are you recommending?
Yeah, it's been hard to kind of recommend stuff. I've been watching.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
He died the other day. The guy that voiced
Thomas the Tank Engine died.
Well, the guy who voiced after Ringo Starr.
I thought you were going to say Ringo Starr died. Horror, said Thomas and shut his eyes.
Strawberry Fields, Thomas. No, no, the guy who voiced him after Ringo Starr had finished, he passed away.
I'm very sorry. I do not mean any offense to that guy, but I have no idea who that is. I'm sorry. I obviously, rest in peace and all that, but it's Ringo Starr. There is only one narrator of Thomas the Tank Engine. What are you recommending? Please do not say Birth of a Nation.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Oh, yeah, that is... I've seen... I haven't seen... I've only seen clips from that film, but they're very, like...
Oh, it's a horrifying thing. What are you recommending? We don't have time to talk about this anymore.
So, like, I have been trying to... find something to sort of recommend, and I feel like I do want to recommend something which I did watch recently, which is directed by Spike Lee, because I've been watching a lot of his films lately, and I do find his films to be extremely important in a lot of ways, because he is a filmmaker that has a lot to say. And the films I have watched are some I haven't seen before, like Chirac and his war film Miracle at St. Anna, which it tells a story about four Buffalo soldiers in Italy during the Second World War.
Are they called Buffalo soldiers?
They're four black soldiers. They were called Buffalo soldiers in the 92nd Infantry Division in 1944.
Cool.
They were called that. But the film I do want to recommend is one of his films, which came out 20 years ago, which is now part of the Criterion Collection. And that is his 2000 film, made in the year 2000, Bamboozled, starring Jada Pinkett Smith and Damon Wayans. And the way that I would sort of introduce the film is read a line from the movie said by Michael Rapaport's character. He was in Deep Blue Sea. He's the guy who's like, you gotta trust me because I'm trustworthy. He's the guy that dates Phoebe in a few episodes in Friends. He's the cop.
Okay.
So this is the line that he says in the movie, which I think kind of sums up what Spike Lee is trying to say in certain bits. You know, I grew up around black people my whole life. I mean, if the truth be told, I probably know N-words better than you. And don't go getting offended by my use of the quote-unquote N-word. I have a black wife and two biracial kids. I feel like I have a right. I don't give a goddamn what that prick Spike Lee says. Tarantino was right. N-word is just a word. If old dirty bastard can use it, every other word, why can't I?
Did Bill de Blasio say that?
No, but the movie is set in New York. So the movie stars Damon Wayans, who plays Pierre Delacroix, whose real name is Peerless Dothan, who is a very uptight, Harvard-educated black man who works in a TV news network called CNS. And the line I was said was written, but was said by Thomas Dunwitty, played by Michael Rapaport. And basically, he very much does not like his job. And, you know, Dunwoody is basically saying, come on, we need new shows. And he basically throws out a lot of Delacroix scripts, which are trying to portray black people in a very positive and very intelligent light. And Dunwoody, he dismisses them as Cosby clones. And sort of in a way to get himself out of his job, Delacroix develops a show, a minstrel show, a satirical minstrel show, where he gets black actors to wear blackface and say racist jokes and puns and, you know, have very offensive stereotypes, which we've seen many times before in films and old 1930s movies and things like that, expecting himself to feel like this show is bad, it's in bad taste, this should never be seen, I'm going to get fired. But the problem is, it becomes a huge success.
Oh, it's like The Producers. It's like Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah, it's basically a blend of The Producers and Network, Sidney Lumet's Network. It has all those kind of elements to it, and it very much, it's funny in times. It's shocking quite a lot of the times in how it takes this very satirical look at black representation in the media, and how often, you know, even if things are done in the sort of, which starts off in good intentions, we could also add to the problems that people, like, you know, this film rings, like, a lot of things that are shown in this movie and portrayed, they do ring true now as they did back, you know, 20 years ago when the film was released.
Well, that's kind of the point, you know.
Yeah.
This stuff isn't new, is it?
No.
And I think Spike Lee knows that better than anyone.
Yeah, but it's just like, I mean, he does get, like, really strong reactions from his movies, and they are, like, I mean, all of his movies, like, Do the Right Thing, they are just, you know, I mean, Do the Right Thing has immense relevancy today, and it's such a great, great film, and he's a fantastic filmmaker, and I'm looking...
But, of course, Driving Miss Daisy was the film that won the Oscar that year.
Yeah, and he also lost to Green Book.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But Damon Wayans is really good in the film. But the sort of MVP of the film is Jada Pinkett Smith, who plays his secretary, who very much is, you know, works on the show, but then starts to really question herself and tries to distance herself away from it. And she has a really good scene where she speaks with Man Ray's character, played by Saving Glover, about, because he accuses her of sleeping her way to the top, and then she goes on this really good speech, just because, you know, because I'm a woman, do you really feel like I've slept my way to the top? No, because I worked really hard and stuff like that. I'm not doing the line justice, but it's a really, really good speech and a great bit of acting from Jada Pinkett Smith.
Well, it sounds like a good film for the current moment. Is it funny?
It is funny in places. Like, it's sort of, it's, you laugh at it in kind of an uncomfortable way, because it's like, you know, like the sort of satirical, the show that they have, this minstrel show that they call, what do they call? They call it Mantan, the new millennium minstrel show. And it's like, so we're putting blackface on black actors. We're making them blacker and things like that. So it's kind of funny a little bit, and also just how blown up the show gets and how people embrace it, and then, like, they just, these actors go out and all these all these white people in the audience are wearing blackface and things like that. It's
oh, Jesus Christ. It sounds like brilliant satire, but almost too uncomfortable.
Yeah, but, you know, it's and also has a great Network reference where it's basically the whole speech, like, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And he uses it very well, because I feel like Spike Lee at this point, and he still is in some ways, in the way that a white dominated film world, you know, views and shows black people on TV and film, you know, I'm not taking it anymore, and things have to change, and black people have to be represented better and in a more positive way in, you know, in films going forward.
Yeah. I mean, the depiction of minorities in American cinema is a long and pretty shameful story. There's a lot that still needs to be done to redress that balance.
But yeah, it's like there's like one bit in the film where he like cuts together all these old footage from all these old films, and even like, you know, Hattie McDaniel shows up in one and things. I think they make a reference to Uncle Remus at one point or something like that. I don't know. Just it just kind of shows that this like the way that they were portrayed in the 30s and like up until like now, they have been, it's been really questionable the way that they portray black people in films.
Questionable. I mean, it's been abhorrent.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. Well,
I will say one thing. The film is shot in a very, it's shot with, it was shot on mini DV digital video using Sony VX cameras, but it was later converted to film format. So it does have kind of a Dogma cinema look.
Hmm.
So it's a very interesting approach. It does feel a bit like maybe you could have shot this a little bit more conventionally, but I think maybe because the format and stuff, I don't know, maybe it limited the budget, him using these multiple cameras and getting like multiple shots during different setups and things like that. But in some scenes during the show, the minstrel show that they do, they use Super 16 film.
Okay, great.
So that's my recommendation. Bamboozle. Well,
awesome. Well, I guess it just remains to say, you know, watch an anti-racist movie this week if you can.
Yep.
Read an anti-racist book. Do something to help. Shut the fuck up. Listen and stay safe.
Exactly. Stay safe. Have a good day, guys.